And now we're going to look at the gospel. As I was looking it over, I felt I had to urge you all to read this and beg the Lord to take the reality mediated by this text and impress it on your spirit. It'll take your breath away. This is not just something, oh, this is pious, and we'll go to Mass, and we'll sing all these things, and we'll go home. No, this is the incarnation. This is the becoming human of God Himself. Think about that. And we can think all we want, but it only starts to come alive when the Holy Spirit touches our life. The fathers of the church, they prayed, they fasted, they begged the Holy Spirit to come and open up these texts. We're going to talk now. This is the Annunciation. And Luke is telling us this offer of God to Mary to be the mother of God. And it's an awesome text. Huh? And it's filled with all sorts of allusions to the Old Testament. It's found, as I think most of you know, in the chapter 1 of St. Luke's Gospel. We start our Gospel in verse 26, go to 38, right after the account of the Annunciation to Zechariah. And he said, how can this be? I'm old, my wife is old. You see, Mary just said, I'm a virgin, but whatever you want. And if the Holy Spirit is going to come upon me, and the power of the Most High is going to overshadow me, so be it. So be it. So that's the text we have. Alright. It begins. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God. The sixth month since Annunciation about John the Baptist, to a town of Galilee called Nazareth. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? I mean, it was a tiny little town perched on a hill. There wasn't even a road to Nazareth. There was a footpath, and maybe donkey carts could navigate it, but it wasn't a place anybody went to, unless they were going to live there or sell their wares there. It's Nazareth. See, in Hebrew, the Christians are called Hanotrim, the Nazarites. They take their identity from a man in Nazareth. Hanotrim, Christians. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a town of Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man named Joseph, of the house of David. Wake up. Remember the promise? The promise in 2 Samuel 7:14. Maybe you don't. Maybe we should take a look at it for a moment. When Nathan had this prophecy, which lived on and on and on in Israel, and celebrated in Psalms and in the history of the kings, even when they were in exile, didn't even have a land, the believers believed. And there's some beautiful things in 2 Isaiah about who they are. They never lost track of this. So I just want to read it. In chapter 8, excuse me. Oh, it must be 2 Samuel. I made a mistake here. Excuse me. Yes, 2 Samuel 7:14. King David was settled, and this is chapter 7, in his palace, and the Lord that the Lord had given him. And the Lord had given him rest from his enemies on every side. So he said to Nathan, the prophet, "Here I am living in a house of cedar, while the ark of God dwells in a tent." Nathan answered the king, "Go, do whatever you have in mind, for the Lord is with you." But that night, you see, the Lord spoke to Nathan and said, "Go tell my servant David, thus says the Lord, should you build me a house to dwell in? I have not dwelt in a house from the day in which I led the Israelites out of Egypt to the present. And I have been going about in a tent under cloth. In all my wanderings everywhere among the Israelites, did I ever utter a word to anyone of the judges whom I charged to tend my people Israel, to ask them, why have you not built me a house of cedar?" You're going beyond your office, David. "Now then, speak to thus to my servant David, Avdi, David, my servant." He loves him. "It was I who took you from the pasture, from the care of the flock, and I have been with you. I destroyed all your enemies, and I made you famous like the great ones of the earth. And I will fix a place for my people Israel, and I will plant them so that they may dwell in their place without further disturbance. Neither shall the wicked appoint," you know, and so forth. Now, the Lord also reveals to you that he will establish a house for you. God tells David, "You think you're going to build me a house? No, I'm going to build you the house of David. This will be the ruling." That's why when in Matthew, the virgin is betrothed to a man named Joseph of the house of David. You see? "I will raise up your heir after you, and I will make his kingdom firm. It is he who shall build a house for my name." And so you see, that's what this text is saying, you see. Of the house of David, I will establish the house of David. The temple will be important, but only until a woman gives birth, a virgin gives birth, and then the house of God will be that man. He will be the place where God dwells. So the angel came and said, "Hail, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled about what was said and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. Our Lady was probably about 16 at this time. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary." That's the way almost every oracle in the Old Testament, "Al tira," do not be afraid. With an angel standing there and all his impressiveness, delivering a message to God, wouldn't you be afraid? Whew! So nearly every oracle begins, "Al tira," don't be afraid. "But you have found favor with God. Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son. And you shall name him Jesus, Yehoshua. He will be great and will be called Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of David, his father." He will be the Ben David, the one I promised. You see? "And he will rule over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end." This is not just a finding a successor to David. This is something else. And so, the Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I have no relations with a man?" The angel said to her in reply, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, Ayios, the Son of God." And then, as in so many of these oracles, there's a sign. "And behold, this is the sign. Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month for her who was called barren. You will conceive virginally." She conceived the normal course of events, except that She was way past the age where she was producing an egg to be fertilized. So God calls out of nothing things to be. And these are the, so that sign is meant to be for Mary. For nothing shall be impossible to God, which is the word addressed to Sarah when she laughed, "You're going to conceive." And the angel said to Abraham, she's listening at the tent, "When I come back next year at this time, a Sarah will be fondling a child." She laughs. And the angel said, "Don't laugh. You laughed." She said, "I did not laugh." He said, "You did laugh." Realize, nothing is impossible to God. And so, that's what's said to Our Lady, to remind her of Sarah. "Behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord. May it be done to me according to your word." And the angel left her. "I am the handmaid of the Lord. I am the servant of the Lord." Now, how can we ever understand this? See, the Bible is full of helps for us to grasp. Sarah, you know, all the women who were called Akirah, barren. There's a whole list of them, starting with Rachel and going. In other words, the Akirah, or the plural, the Akirot, are anticipations. They all conceived in the normal course of events, but they were barren. They'd never conceived before. And by an oracle from the Lord, they conceived. And there's a whole line of them, the Akirah. Only the last in that line, Mary, was Akirah by a vow, by a promise, you see, that I'm not going to have sexual relations. I am going to keep myself for God. And she knew she was supposed to do that. She's immaculately conceived, remember. There's no static in her relationship or communication with God. And so this whole long line of women, even the wording is taken once in a while in the prophecies, Israel is Akirah, but you will give life. And here comes the one in whom the whole vocation of Israel is finally realized. Give birth to the Savior of the world, which is Israel's vocation, summed up in this young woman of Nazareth. How can we understand this? The only way is to pray, to ponder, to read the text, to read the fathers of the church with their mystical understanding of this, and try to get an idea of this is the place where there is the birth and the death. Without a birth, there can be no death. Without the death, there can be no salvation. It all begins right here. And so, this is why we have this feast of the Incarnation. And until we grasp this, God became a man. God became a little zygote in the womb of a virgin for love of us, so that he could have a body. As the letter to the Hebrews told us, you fitted out a body for me. Now I can do your will. I can give your will human historical existence in an act of love in which I give my whole self back to you and bring the world with me, so that now the whole world, anyone who wants it, accept this reality and live with us forever. Amen.